This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
And happy Sunday, everybody. Welcome to In Focus. I'm Roger Gray. Good to have you with us. And we're going to talk about your health today with folks from the Northeast Texas Public Health District. With us is the Chief Executive Officer, George Roberts. Been here before.
Well, Roger, how you doing today?
Good to have you here. Also joining us, Kendrick Boddy. He's an epidemiologist with NetHealth. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Good to have you here.
We asked Kendrick. He's not only a very smart epidemiologist, but listen to that voice there. He has that. I think he might get a second job working for you guys, Roger.
Well, yeah. I mean, radio voices. There was a police chief down in Houston where I'm from. Harry Caldwell had one of those voices. And I said, Harry, why didn't you get into media? He said, when we were picking classes at the University of Houston, all the media classes were closed. All I could get was like pre-law or something like that. So complete accident.
Wow.
So, and nobody ever said to you, you ought to think about radio?
I get that a lot, actually.
I've not said that a lot.
He's got the big voice
that
part.
A lot.
Okay. Well, I don't want you here because we don't need the competition. Okay. Well, guys, let's start with a field that is yours, obviously. We're heading into, I feel like I'm Bill Murray in Stripes. You know, it's cold and flu season.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is cold and flu season. We're getting there anyway. It's warmer than normal right now.
Right.
So how is that affecting everything? How are we looking heading into this time of year?
So for right now, flu is starting to go up. But I will say, with the warmer weather, like you mentioned, people mm-hmm. are staying out longer. They aren't congregating inside as much as they used to around this time. So flu numbers are growing, but they're not growing as fast as they have been in previous years.
We've had worse years, in other words. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, highly.
Okay. So what do you recommend? How do we know? Because the flu shot changes every year, right?
Correct.
You know, different strains are predominant and so forth. How do we know that? How do we know what's coming?
Well, it's really hard to say, you know, to know exactly what's coming.
Okay.
But with, you know, like you mentioned, the flu shots out there, you know, we always recommend speak with your doctor or your pharmacist and make sure it's right for you to get.
Mm-hmm.
And usually with those shots, they try to keep them up to date. With
right.
the current strain that's out there, and that's one of the best protections, you know, that they recommend.
You guys offer flu shots, right?
Yes.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And we've already started doing that, even though the temperature's been up. And we're seeing some uptake in it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But people typically, I know myself, I'll get mine probably here in a couple of weeks. There's something about 1st of November is typically it's like, okay, I want to be prepared for Thanksgiving and Christmas and all that. So,
and I know we talked about a week or so ago for a news story. With the warm weather, people aren't congregating indoors yet.
Correct.
When it gets cold, then we start infecting each other.
Yeah, that's right. That's
right. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's when it goes up.
That's right.
So,
I mean, people, you know, they have their windows. Everybody shuts their windows when it gets cold.
Sure.
I mean, it's the whole, if we can keep the air circulating and things like that, that's when things tend to be a little better.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting in COVID this year, though. What we saw over the last 5 years is that COVID, COVID really did an uptick in July and early August.
Really?
And we're like, why is that happening? Nobody could ever explain it to me. You just knew it was going to happen. This year, and we don't, in COVID data, we counted every COVID case for up until March of last year,
right.
24. Now we rely on state surveillance data.
Mm-hmm.
And the state surveillance data was pretty calm for July and August. So the COVID numbers were, I heard, you know, people saying that they got COVID, but the numbers themselves weren't very strong.
Huh.
And truth be told, people aren't really going to the doctor for it anymore like they used to.
Right.
Yeah.
So the testing isn't really there right now. But, you know, also with it not being so reportable anymore, especially to the health departments, it's, you know, kind of going to be all over the place.
Right.
Well, and I have to say, forgive me for getting a little political, but this has gotten political. Who would have thought we'd get there? But the whole COVID thing, we were reminiscing about working under COVID conditions. Right. You guys had to work all the time.
We were not. There's some people in my profession that work from home. I couldn't do that. My staff couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. It just felt like we had to have that interaction with each other to make sure that we were giving the best possible information to our communities that we possibly could. And to do that, we had to be together and look each other in the eye and challenge each other and ask questions.
Well, I was joking that I ran a TV newsroom by Zoom call during that time. But report any office setting, any particularly a creative one, you do miss the camaraderie. You do miss reporters, the same thing. They bounce ideas off each other. Right. Yep. Oh, the mayor won't talk to me. Well, try this. You know, call this guy. It's the same deal, and it did limit things. But as we were saying to each other, we were kind of learning as we went along.
Absolutely.
If we overdid in some areas, it's only because it was a whole new ballgame. Nobody knew.
Well, in our response, I felt like, here, primarily in Smith County, we felt like that we hit a spot. We tried to provide information to the public that was true, accurate, and up to date. But we also tried to not get too far out ahead of ourselves or too far behind ourselves either. Our main thing was to make sure that the hospitals were not overrun with patients. So, people who had heart attack or cancer or something like that could be seen as well. So that was our primary mission, is to make sure the hospitals weren't overrun. And we really did it. We did a ton of planning. You would know.
I was going to ask you, how was it during the worst of the COVID, like I said, I was operating a TV station in Amarillo, and we had the daily briefings from the city. Here's where we are, and all the hospitals would have a representative. It would be a gigantic Zoom call, and it got really crowded there. How was it here?
We would do briefings the way it was set up. We would do, once we got a couple weeks into it, we said, okay, we're going to do like a weekly press conference. Mm-hmm. And we do that at the Smith County the Commissioner's Courtroom.
Right.
And we'd have a variety of either hospitals or ministers. Mm-hmm. We did a whole number of group of folks.
Yeah.
I typically give, here's where we are at the particular moment. I thought it would be, the media seemed to be very, now my job was basically to, outside of those things, was to handle all the other, the day-to-day stuff.
Right.
So that's what we did. And I think we kept the public pretty well engaged. And if you remember, we came out of the shutdown around the 1st of May.
Mm-hmm.
And our numbers during that whole time really were not, we kept it to a pretty dull roar. I think y'all had some issues at Amarillo. I think they had the whole, with the chicken processing.
Yeah, it was a problem.
That was a major issue out there.
Right.
Here, but then.
But like here, Amarillo has a surprising number of big, very good, nice hospitals.
Oh, yeah.
There's an A&M branch there and all of that. Same here, same in towns like Houston, Dallas. So your hospitals didn't face
the initial thing, March, April, May, they really did pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was, goes back to that, we talked about earlier, July hits, and all of a sudden the COVID cases just start going through the roof.
Yeah.
That's when the hospitals around here really got overburdened. And we were like, okay, do we need to start? We talked to them and said, do you need alternate care sites? Because that's what we really planned for. And they said, hey, we can take care of the people here in the hospital. We had the physical capacity.
Mm-hmm.
What we don't have is the staffing capacity. So then we worked with the state officials to start getting nurses, basically travel nurses. That's when the whole travel nurses.
That became a real deal back then. Oh, yeah.
July, August. So that's we were able to
get nurses were making some pretty good money back then, actually.
And they were, so basically nurses were supplied to these hospitals to help them take care of the patients. I mean, that was the real, July, August is when it went through the roof.
Okay.
And then it tamped down again. And then we started the vaccine into December 1st of January. Then the numbers, the first part of January of 21, just went through the roof again. That was really our peak almost.
Well, and again, that happened in Amarillo. And the hospitals actually set up tents. There were tents outside of the main buildings.
Tents, yeah. But I mean, it was mainly to give
people inoculations and so forth. But I mean, it's a shame it bred suspicion or reluctance, because as we were saying, people were feeling their way through this thing. Nobody knew exactly what would work until the vaccine came along.
Right.
Yeah. and it works.
Yeah, and well, the vaccine, yeah. What I tell people, what the vaccine did is basically help us get through 2021, that initial difficult time. And once the vaccine was really in pretty good supply, those first, everybody got their first couple of shots,
right,
we started seeing our numbers go back down again.
Yeah.
And then you see the spikes again here and there, but that really seemed to kind of warden off the worst of
it. And if you got the shot, even if you caught it, it would be generally far less serious than if you had not.
Correct.
So, but you were telling me now it's tough to find the vaccine.
Yes, it is. It's, we're talking earlier, probably the best thing if you have questions about the vaccine is to go talk to your physician, mm-hmm. primary care provider, or even talk to some of the pharmacies. We at the Northeast Texas Public Health, we don't have a supply of COVID vaccines anymore.
That's a fire truck, by the way, not an ambulance. Yeah, so, just so
we're okay here. So, yeah, we don't have, our organization does not have access to the COVID shots anymore.
And a lot of pharmacies are probably low, if not none.
Yeah.
So it may be a little tough to find now. So, okay. So back to the stuff we can deal with, which is the flu season. I'm guessing with all the warm weather, maybe we don't expect as bad a season, or does that make a difference?
Well, we don't want to say that yet.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We don't want to say that yet.
Right.
Never say
that. Don't relax.
Yeah. Just because it's seasonally warm now doesn't mean next month all of a sudden the temperatures go back down, everybody goes inside.
Yeah.
We never want to, give any false hope right away. But we do, want to say make sure that you're thinking about it ahead of time. Even though it's warm outside, mm-hmm. be thinking about, speaking to your pharmacist or your doctor.
Yeah.
Is the flu shot, right for me? Trying to maybe get places, if you're planning to do events or mm-hmm. something, is there some way maybe you can do them outside or more spread out during this time? Be thinking of those things mm-hmm. just in case.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you get older, if like me, you're a man of a certain age, it can hit you harder.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
They just, the late actress Diane Keaton, they just released yesterday. She died of pneumonia. Which is something that a younger person probably can deal with.
Right.
As you get older, it hits you harder.
Well, that's why the flu really is 65 and older. So they have a high dose flu shot for 65 and older.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a high dose. So, Roger, get your high dose flu shot.
Is that high mileage oil like for your car? Yeah,
Same concept. But, I've reached that step in life, and I got it, and it really has protected me the last couple of years.
Yeah,
I really, that high dose flu shot really is very helpful.
So it does vary by age group.
Yes, it does. Especially also, depending on your age group, also comorbidities. Like if you have something under illness, that is also a big ticket. Also,
a lot of what they were saying about COVID applies to flu.
That is pretty much all respiratory.
Yeah.
You can pretty much all wrap it up into one package.
Okay.
Yes, they're all different, and you might get sick harder with one.
But if you have something else going on, you could get sicker. If you're older, you could get sicker.
So the flu, you get the flu. Okay, the flu evolves into pneumonia. Mm-hmm. Pneumonia is what really, like I say, in Diane Keaton's case, that's what killed her. So those are the things. That's why we really say, if you can avoid getting the flu to start off with, get the flu shot.
Yeah.
Get a flu shot, and it takes typically 2 weeks for that flu shot to really take hold. So if you're thinking about the holidays are coming up here very soon.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that, Roger?
Yeah.
And especially traveling, too, getting on the planes.
Yeah. So lots of traveling, lots of stuff like that. So really think about that now.
I'd be reluctant to get on a plane right now anyway, given.
Good plan. So 2 weeks out, so really plan on that, but thinking for you're going to be with family, friends, acquaintances, lots of gathering during Thanksgiving and Christmas. So get that flu shot, protect yourself.
Yeah, because you're all going to be hanging out. You're all going to be sitting around the dinner table and all of that. So, and that's where the problems can arise.
Correct. That's right.
Now, and also they can be asymptomatic and not even know they have it.
Ah.
So
how do you know? What should you start feeling when the symptoms do start?
It is going to range between everybody. Someone might not feel it at all. Someone might come down with a fever right away, coughing, chills. Some people may have shortness of breath.
Okay.
The best thing to do, and we talked about this earlier, the best thing to do is go to the doctor if you can. And then also to make sure, you know, stay home when you're sick.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Don't try to tough it out and make everybody else sick.
That's one. That was one of the big lessons during COVID. Is that, you know, we really talked about wash your hands a lot. We did a study really before the pandemic. It's kind of interesting, and we did a little vignette with the TV station here. And basically, the idea was the study was basically only a third of men and two thirds of women washed their hands after they go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a little quick, you know, it wasn't a scientific study. Basically, a couple of people went into one of our staff members and one of the media radio TV station staffers went in and kind of observed people as they were exiting the bathroom. And the numbers kind of tell true. So basically, wash your hands a lot.
Let's be honest, guys usually only do it if there's somebody else in the room, you know.
I do it all the time.
Yeah, you don't want to seem like, you know, a barbarian or something, you know. But do it.
Yes.
Do it anyway, whether there's anybody else in the bathroom or not.
So wash your hands, but then stay home. That was one of the biggest things is that, you know, we were taught, Roger, when we were growing up, if you have a little headache or don't feel great that day.
Yeah.
Rub some dirt on it and go on.
That's it, pretty much. Yeah, take
and
a
now,
lap.
Yeah, now it's like
drop and give me 10 and take a lap. Yeah,
yeah, that, maybe you'll feel better. And we encourage people, like, well, you realize, yeah, you can tough it out, but if I'm coming to work one day and I'm sick, well, I get around Kendrick, I can get him sick. He don't want that.
Yeah.
So
no,
if I'm sick, he really didn't want to see me.
And pretty then much. I can take it home to my family.
That's
and
right.
Someone else gets sick.
That's
and
right.
Maybe they don't do too well with
it. Well, then I check into a hotel. I don't know. I mean,
so stay home when you're sick and wash your hands a lot.
Okay. And again, as far as the difference between a flu and a cold, I mean, there really is no way for the average person probably to tell at the beginning, at least.
Correct. Through a test, you go to your doctor, they will run a respiratory panel,
is
what it's called, and it will have, you know, COVID, flu, even RSV.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that will let you know. You know,
RSV, is that Legionnaires? What is that?
No, respiratory virus. RSV typically is a disease that really infants get.
Babies,
but now older people are getting RSV, and so that's one of the respiratory diseases that, you know, Kendrick and his team are tracking on a routine basis. They don't; it's not reportable where they're getting information on that. So RSV is one of those things that, and that's RSV for children is very, it's bad.
Yeah, especially under one.
Yeah,
really.
We saw a lot of cases really post COVID, really into 22. The RSV really started. My daughter worked at Children's in Dallas, and she said the RSV numbers were really going through the roof.
Wow. Well, let's because part of your job is also notifying the state about what we're doing, what's happening in, what is it, seven counties, seven county area that NetHealth serves. What kind of afflictions are you reporting?
So we really look at the reportables of the disease.
Right.
You know, we have a sheet that has a whole slew of things.
Stuff you might expect, measles and so forth, of course.
Correct.
Anthrax, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, correct.
Diphtheria and so on.
Legionnaire's disease.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with that, we kind of get those reports from the hospital. I will say we also look at outbreaks. I can't, you know, not mention the outbreaks in schools with respiratory coming in.
Right.
We look at flu, COVID, even though those aren't reportable, they're reportable in an outbreak situation.
Okay.
A facility, a nursing home as well.
All right.
Sometimes if, you know, say there's something going around at a hospital.
Right.
And we also look at that as well.
Okay.
And we will try to get as much information as we can and call up the state and say, hey, this is what's happening, you know, and kind of lay it out that way. Follow guidelines and protocols on how to make sure to report it correctly. Then we put it into a regular database, NEDS.
Right.
And so then we go from there.
I'm looking at your sheet here. This is the...
It's impressive, isn't it?
Well, and the stuff that's in red.
Yeah, contact immediately.
It says call... some of these, you know, some serious stuff, you know, AIDS and so forth, call within a week and so forth. Some of them are call immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, pick up the phone now.
Yeah, like now.
Yes.
Right.
And that's stuff like coronavirus, diphtheria, measles, the plague... No plague cases here? We're cool for now?
No, and we don't need them here.
Yeah, we don't want that.
All right. Oh, but rabies in humans, smallpox, obviously. Tularemia, I've heard of it, but I have no idea what it is.
I will say for a lot of those, for rabies especially, we do not handle all of those.
Yeah.
There are certain ones on there that go to different departments, especially rabies for a zoonotic condition, because they're from an animal.
Right.
So they would go to the state area.
Okay.
And also with STD, HIV, that goes also to the state.
Those are reportable.
Yeah. Yes. Tuberculosis, we have a full-time nurse who's working TB cases in our county.
We tend to think TB is one of those things that we don't have to think about anymore.
Correct. No, it is
not the case.
It's not. It's out there. And you have to be very, her job basically is to be very diligent in working with people who have TB and their contacts to make sure that they don't get it, make sure that they take their medicine.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very, it's a very detailed type of job because we do not want TB circulating through the community.
But being my age, I was around when a lot of this stuff was still, I mean, we had the, you may even remember, we had the mobile chest x-ray and all the kids in the school would troop in there and get their chest x-ray. And I was the first generation polio shots. They gave them to us at school. I mean, we lined up and they did it at school.
I remember our parents
were so thankful.
That's what I remember, think about our parents, how scared they must have been for polio.
Oh.
I never talked to my mom and dad about it, and they were gone before I took this job. But it's like, you got to be, my older brothers and stuff, they must have been really scared about that. I mean, that's, polio was debilitating. Adults in iron lungs. I remember I worked at Baylor Hospital in Dallas, and then worked at Mother Francis. We had iron lungs in the hospital.
Yeah.
Basically ready to go for people who had polio, and people used those iron lungs. And it really wasn't until probably the 90s that iron lung kind of thing went away.
Yeah. Wow.
But I mean,
that long? I wouldn't have thought it went that long.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was a scary, scary, scary thing. I remember the sugar cube. I don't remember the initial shot. I remember the sugar cube.
I got both. Yeah, I got the shot first. Yeah, so because I'm older.
Congratulations.
Which is why I need the big flu shot.
The high dose flu vaccine.
Now there are a lot of things you guys work with, particularly for families, for kids, WIC and that sort of thing. That with the shutdown going on, what are we in day 16, 17 now?
Yeah, day real. Yeah. Yeah.
What effect is it having?
Well, so far the federal government, the way WIC works is basically it's a USDA program that's basically filtered 100% funded to the state of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Our state partners have basically said we're good until October 31.
Okay.
So we'll see. Hopefully this shutdown is over sooner versus later. But right now it's October 31 is the date, and we'll take that as it goes if it needs to go further. But right now we have confidence that we're good until October 31.
After that, we shall see.
Yeah.
They need to start talking.
Yeah. Well, I guess they'll start talking pretty quickly here. So.
I think. I read somewhere, the thing that stopped all of them before is the air traffic controllers.
Yeah.
When it starts getting, when there are delays and
I mean, in the last couple, I've heard some people say that they're...
It's starting. Yeah.
There's issues out there. I'm not sure as much TSA is the air traffic controllers.
Yeah, the controllers, because without them, you ain't flying. Yeah.
Nor do you want to fly.
Listen, exactly. Now, you also, you can connect, I'm looking at the community wellness department, what you guys do, mammograms, diabetes tests, that sort of thing.
Yes, we just celebrated the 12th anniversary of our Center for Healthy Living. What that is, Roger, is the city of Tyler gave us use of an old fire station back 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And we converted the fire station into a center for healthy living. And so we've just, we actually had a celebration event in the last few days, basically where the American Heart Association and Molina Healthcare gave us a blood pressure kiosk.
Okay.
And why is that so important? We want members of the community to come in and get their blood pressure checked.
Yep.
So why is that important? Well, high blood pressure causes heart disease, heart attacks, strokes, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
Diabetes can make diabetes worsen. Nothing good comes from high blood pressure. So people need to know their numbers. So this is an easy way for people to know their, you know, when I went in there, yeah. stuck my arm in there, got my blood pressure checked my heart rate.
This is like the one you see at the supermarket, yeah, at the Walmart next to the pharmacy.
It's a little fancier than that. It's actually a pretty slick little unit. So come to our Center for Health, that's one of the things we offer is free blood pressure checks. We have diabetes classes.
Yep.
If you're type 2 or type 1 diabetic, you can come learn about that. How can you better control that? Or if you're a family member or concerned about it, you can still come to our classes. They're free. Typically on Thursday evenings. You need to sign up for them. Go to the website and do that. But we also, we have a breast and cervical cancer program, and we offer, basically we're able to help women get a free mammogram, a screening mammogram, potentially diagnostic mammogram. We also help with cervical cancer screening as well. So we have a state grant that helps us do that. We work with a hospital here. They basically bring their mobile mammography unit every other month to the Center for Healthy Living so women in that neighborhood can get screened.
Yeah.
It's a neat program. We have Zumba in the Fire Bay. Come check that. You've done that before, Kendrick, haven't you?
I have not. I did watch a little bit of it, and it looked really fun, though.
Yeah, so we have 30, 50 people come in doing Zumba in the Fire Bay once a week on Tuesday evenings. We did it in the summertime. Even the numbers, we have fans and everything, but now the weather's getting a little easier in the evenings to deal with that. You can come do Zumba. But lots of health information at the center. Great staff of people there that can help you on your journey. They're all community health workers, which can help you on your journey to maybe help find a physician or a provider if you need it.
Probably most of the staff would pay to watch George do the Zoom.
I know I would. I don't want to get out there and embarrass myself. I'm out of shape.
Tell me about the environmental health work you guys do.
Sure.
What does that involve?
Yeah, Kendrick is, with the IRP's getting involved with that. Basically, we're the ones, Roger, that Ginger points is our Director of Environmental Health. But we're the ones for Smith County. We do all the food and restaurant inspections, permitting. At this point, mobile food unit permitting. We do public swimming pools and spa permitting. So they're permitting. They work in kind of all the pools and everything. We have 2,000 organizations that we're permitting each year. And then we go out and do the inspections.
Yeah.
So we want people in this area to feel like if you go out to a restaurant here and get food, it's safe. Because we've inspected. So and you think back.
Pretty much what we expect.
So you think back to, 1900, the average lifespan was 47 years old. We were 47. People lived to 47 typically in 1900. That number now is close to 80. And what's the difference? We say it's, as I tell, we just use 30 as a number. 25 of those years are due to public health initiatives such as safe food.
Yeah.
Think about how safe were the restaurants in 1900? Think they were going to be inspected in 1900?
Yeah, wow.
Clean water, probably not a whole lot of clean water back then.
Mm-hmm.
And vaccinations. Definitely didn't have vaccinations back then.
Right.
So the other five are medical care advances. So really, the public health, what we do is we help you live a longer life.
Yeah. And so you do that. Obviously, you work with the city and the state and
county. Basically the way we're structured is basically the city and county have both delegated the responsibility for that function to us.
And I will say with environmental health, how that ties in to the epi part, to the disease surveillance is, say someone unfortunately does go to a restaurant and eat something bad. We get that report from the doctor. If they go to the doctor, they need to go to the doctor and, get a diagnosis. And if it's reportable to us, we call them. We ask them, hey, what happened? And then they say, hey, we ate here and we ate. So-and-so did this, and, some people got ill, and then we say, well, what restaurant is that?
Yeah.
And they let us know. We can then pass it on, to our environmental health. They can keep tabs on it and make sure it's not, sometimes those things are maybe a one-off.
Yeah.
But a lot of times people don't always know exactly where they got it, but they said, I got sick after this restaurant, but forgot that they must have left something out on the counter that they decided to nibble on before they walked out the doors.
And as a former news director, I know there's an epidemic of that because I would get that call, Raj, I ate something bad last night. I can't come in today. Guys, we're just flat out of time.
Thank you. This has been fun, Roger.
Kendrick, thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us. Yeah, do good
work. And that radio voice, look at that. Listen to that.
I know. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. And we will see you next week.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.